Today's daf is Vavmetzia daf Samach Dal, which we left off, and daf Samach Gimel Amud Bey is at the two dots, not the last two dots on the page, the second to last two dots on the page, about 10 lines before the end of the page. We're going to discuss today if we give a person a discounted price for things that the seller already owns, but currently doesn't have access to, whether that's a violation of Ribbis or not. Meaning he's giving a discounted price because he can't deliver it immediately, but he already owns the items that he's selling to you, so maybe that's just a good sale, or maybe it would be a violation of Ribbis because you're paying him less money since he doesn't have the items right away. Then the Gemara is going to discuss, what do you do if you're borrowing money from somebody and the agreement was that you were supposed to borrow $100 from him and he gives you an envelope and you open it up after he's not there anymore and you find that it's $110. What do you assume? Do you assume that those extra $10 are a matana, or do you assume that those extra $10 are a mistake of some sort? Then the Gemara is going to talk about whether you're allowed to take prepayment for a cheap price on something that you don't yet have, but it's going to grow on its own. Meaning, I'm going to sell you something that's growing in my field, but it's not yet fully grown, and I'm going to sell it to you for a cheaper price than it should cost if it were fully grown. Is that considered that I already have it and I'm selling it to you right now because I already have it? Or do we say, no, you don't have it yet because it's not yet fully grown? Then the Gemara is going to discuss if you make a deal with something where to buy something where you're protected against any possible loss. That I'm going to pay you for a wine that you can give me almanas, that if it turns out that it's vinegar, it turns out to sour, then the whole deal is off. I want my money back. So is that considered like it's not really a mekach? I'm giving you money. You're supposed to give me back wine, but only if it's going to be good wine and it's considered like a halva'a, and therefore maybe some issue of ribbis. On Amud Beis, the Mishnah is going to talk about once you loan somebody money, so you have to be very careful not to get hana'ah from the person. Specifically, the Mishnah is going to talk about living in his chatzer, that you shouldn't go and live rent-free in his chatzer, because that's considered that he's doing you a favor in exchange for the money that he loaned you. The Gemara is going to have a machlokas if you can't live there, even in the case of Zenen of Zelo Chaser, where he wasn't going to make any money renting this property to anybody else anyway, or even Zelonene, where maybe you weren't going to pay anybody else to rent a property, so maybe you're not even getting any hana'ah. But definitely, the Gemara is going to say, definitely you're not allowed to make the deal l'chadchila l'kach, that you can't say, I'm lending you money, now the deal is, I want to live in that chatzer that anyway you're not renting out, so that you can't have that. In addition to paying you back the money, he also has to give you rights to live in his chatzer. That for sure you can't do. Question is going to be after the fact, if you happen to live there, if that's a problem as well. So let's begin at the two dots. Amr Rav Nachman, about 10, 12 lines before the end of the page. Amr Rav Nachman, Klala de Ribisa. The rule that governs Ribis is as follows. Kol agar natalei asir. Anytime there's more money because of more time, there's payment for time, that's going to be asir. Not only by a loan, even if it comes to a sale, agar natar is asir. To get paid for the time that you get to hold on to the money is going to be asir. Amr Rav Nachman, hay man diav zuzi likira'a, ka'azli dalid dalid, a person pays for wax and it goes for a certain price for things of wax for X number for whatever, for a dinar. V'amrle yehivnilach, hey, and he says, you know what, I'll give you a better deal. I know it normally costs four things for a dinar, but I'll give you five for a dinar, so I'm giving you a better deal. So isnu gabe shari, if he has the product to deliver, so then that's totally mutter. That's what we call a sale. That's perfectly fine. He's allowed to give you a cheap price on something. But lesnuhu gabe aser. If he doesn't have it, then it's going to be aser. Because if he doesn't have it right now, the only reason he's giving you a cheaper price is so that he won't have to, is because you're giving him an advance payment. Advance payment means time with the money. If you're giving him, if there's payment for time with the money, that's what we call ribbis. Now, if he does have it, the reason that it's mutter, we pointed out, the Rivash says explicitly in the Tshuva and Simur Shin Vav, is that really most konos min haTorah. And if the guy were to back out on the deal, he would be mekabel misha para. So the inyan ribbis is as if he's kona right now. If you have all the stuff and he's paying for it, so it's ke'ilu, the deal is already done and he's already acquired it. So it's irrelevant when the delivery actually happens. As long as you have it right now, it's ke'ilu, he's already been kona. And that goes Mordechai, he says, yeah, that's true, only if he has That the if he has all of the items, that if he actually delivers those items that he still has, meaning when he gives it to you, he gives you the items that he had back then. But it could be that he has a supply, and then later on he's going to get more of a supply, and he's going to give you the new things that he got. That might be a problem, because the whole point is that you're buying what he has right now. It's not that you're buying the consideration or the prepayment. No, you're buying what he has right now. So that's the discussion in the Achronim. Does he have to have the amount that you ordered? Does he have to have Pashtus? Is yes, that if you were buying five things of wax, it can't be that, oh, he has some. No, he's got to have all of it, because the whole point is that you're buying that you're buying whatever it is that he has in his possession at the moment. So says Gemara, Pshita, isn't this obvious that if he doesn't have it right now, and you're paying in advance, and because you're paying in advance, you're getting a better deal? Isn't that obvious that that's ribbis? So says Gemara, Tzricha, di isle ashroi b'masa. He may not have the wax that he's trying to sell you, but he has the rights to buy it from a certain supplier. So he's just one step away from getting possession of it. It's not like he has to go shopping around for it. He already has a deal set up with a supplier that he's going to have it. So I might think that since he has such a deal already set up, it's as if he's just saying, look, I have it. I just need access to it. I just need to wait till my son comes with the key, till I'm able to gain access to it. So Kamash Malan, therefore, comes to tell us, no. Since he doesn't yet have it in his Rishus, it's not just that he doesn't have access to it, he doesn't yet have possession of it. If he doesn't yet have possession of it, he cannot give you a deal for prepaying on something that he does not yet have possession of. Period. Says the Gemara further. V'amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman teaches the following. Hayman da ozef pshiti mechavre. A guy is borrowing money from his friend. Va'ashkech pei tufayna. And he finds that there's extra money. He was supposed to borrow $1,000. He opens up the envelope after the guy leaves and he finds that there's $1,100 in there. So what does he do? If it's an amount that suggests that there was a mistake and that he accidentally stuck an extra $100 bill in there, then you have to give it back to him because that was obviously a mistake. I mean, you wrote a shtar that you owe him $1,000, so it doesn't make sense that he would have given you $1,100 if that was a mistake, and it was a number. The number that he added was a number that's most likely a mistake. Then you got to give it back. But if it's not the kind of thing that a person would have made a mistake about, then it's obvious that he's giving you a matana. The Gemara is going to explain, like in the example I gave, you made a deal for $1,000 and you find 11 crisp $100 bills. So that's shadas tova. He miscounted, obviously. He was trying to give you $10 bills. He accidentally stuck in an extra one. But what if you find 10 crisp $100 bills, a 5 and 3 singles? So there's no way that was miscounted, that he miscounted $1,000 and accidentally stuck in a 5 and 3 singles. So no, that's obviously something that he did on purpose, that he stuck in that money on purpose. Then you could assume that it's a matana. So Gemara explains this. Hei chidami b'kdei shadas toa. What does it mean, b'kdei shadas toa? What's an example? Amar v'ach b'rid Rav Yosef, b'yisuraisa u'b'chumushaisa. That if the way they used to count the money was they would put away piles of tens and fives. So if you got a whole extra pile of a 10 or an extra pile of a 5, obviously he just miscounted the number of piles that he was sticking in. Or in today's language, he stuck in an extra $100 bill. That's the denomination that he was giving you, and he stuck in one extra. Before we get to the discussion, so Rashi writes exactly the way we explain the Gemara. Now what happens? You're borrowing money. It's not about paying back. I mean, obviously, if you borrowed $1,000, and then when you paid back the money, there's $1,100 in the envelope, that's a problem. Meaning that l'chora is clear ribbis. It's about when you borrowed the money initially, you found more money than you were supposed to borrow in the envelope that he gave to you. However, the Rambam in Malva V'lova Perek Dalet Halacha Yud quotes the din of our Gemara, whether it's the Lova or the Malva that finds extra money, which is wild, meaning the Rambam assumes that even when you're paying back the money, if the Malva finds an extra bill in there, it also depends on Bekdesh Adas Toa or not. That if it's Bekdesh Adas Toa, so then he made a mistake by sticking the extra $100 bill in there, give it back to him. But if it's five and a few singles or something like that, a 20 and some random other denominations of money, so then it's mistama, it's matana. So the problem with this now the Rambam must have had a different girsa in the Gemara. That's first of all that the Achronim point out. The Magen Mishnah writes that Rambam must have had a girsa in the Gemara manda ozef pshita lichavrei as opposed to mechavrei. Saying Achinami has a different girsa, but it's fundamentally problematic. Meaning, why isn't this exactly a problem of ribbis? At least ribbis mucharis. I mean, even if you give a little extra money after the loan is paid back, that's considered to be ribbis. Now here you're giving it together with the loan, and that's not going to be considered to be ribbis. Shulchan Aruch and some Rishon Beis paskins like the Rambam, that whether it's the lova to the malva, he gives a little bit extra, or it's the malva to the lova, who gives a little extra at the shas alva, it's always mutter if it's clear that he gave it to you as a matana, if the amount is clear that it's a matana. So the Achronim are bothered by the psak in the Shulchan Aruch and by this psak of the Rambam. You know, the Rambam in Malva Lova Perkei Halacha Yud Aleph asks, even if he doesn't say that he's doing it l'shem ribbis. So over here, certainly, when he's giving it b'shas piron mamish, it's going to be asir. So the terutzim are very difficult to understand. The Machne Ephraim in Hilchos Ribbis Siman Yud Zayin says, when the Rambam asirs ribbis mucheres, even if the lover doesn't say that he's giving it mishum ribbis, that's if you're no saint stam. But if you're mefarish that it's a matana, then there's no isir. Meaning you just stam give it, so then the assumption is that it's ribbis. But if you explain that it's a matana, then it's there's no isser. So we hear it's ki'ilu, he's explaining it's a matana, because he's giving such strange numbers, so it must be that he means matana. Why, what do you mean? Why does it have to be ki'ilu, it's a matana? Does ribbis have to be in the exact denomination that you're giving the rest of the money back in? It's a very difficult approach the Machna Ephraim takes. The Taz in Yardir, Sim Kuf Samach, Sivkat and Gimel, says that the Rambam only asks ribbis mulcheres when you're miskav in l'shem ribbis. So he says, based on that, it's not a problem. His kavana, we judge that his kavana is not l'shem ribbis. Again, very difficult. I don't know how we know that. How do we know that his kavana is not l'shem ribbis? So the way the Rambam understands the Gemara is a very difficult thing to understand. Rashi l'chora is much more the pashtos, that it has nothing to do with paying back. When you pay back, obviously you pay back exactly the amount that you got. We're talking about when you borrowed the money, that you borrowed the money and you found some extra. The guy was obviously being a nice guy. He realized that you needed the money, otherwise you wouldn't be borrowing the money. So he gave you a loan, and he also gave you a little matana that should be for you to keep. So that's what we're talking about. And in such a case, you're allowed to keep it. It is amazing that you're allowed to make that assessment that it was a matana just based on the denominations of the bills, but just based on the fact that it wasn't an extra 100, but it was 20 and a 5 and a few singles, so that you're allowed to make that assessment. The Chiddush Mamiuchas and the Ritva asked the obvious question, why don't you ask him? We're making an assessment, a judgment. What did he mean to do? Oh, he probably meant it as a matana. Probably? Ask him. You know, I found a few extra bills in here. What was that about? So apparently, the Ritva leaves it as a sarachin, but some of the Acharim suggest that it's such an umdana demuchach, when it's a different denomination, that is clearly the shem matana, that it's such an umdana, you don't even need to be mevare, that you don't even need to ask. There are Rishonim, however, that do point out the Rush and the Chiddush Miuchas and Lidfa, that if the guy later comes and says, I made a mistake, I accidentally put my kid's lunch money in the envelope where I was lending you all the money, I was just putting money into envelopes and I accidentally stuck my kid's lunch money in there, so please give it back, and you say, what do you mean? It's matana. I could tell that. So the Rishonim point out that he's a bari yerushema. You don't really, it's not such a vadaus that you could have a tainas bari that it was matana, which is difficult, because we said you don't have to be mevarer. It's enough of a bari, it's enough of a vada, they don't have to be mevarer. But somehow the Rishonim say, still, if the guy says that that's not what it was, he comes and he has a taina on you, so then you do have to give it back. Now it tells us himself, but Bas was bothered by our Gemara for a different reason. The Gemara in Kiddushin and Daf Mem Vav talks about someone who's Makadesh Achoso. A guy goes to his sister and he gives her money, Harea Makadesh Asli, with this Kesef. So the halacha is, the Gemara says, Adam Yodea Shein Kiddushin Tovsin Bachoso. Everyone knows that you can't marry your sister, that there's no Tfisas Kiddushin when you give money to your sister. So obviously, Gomer Benosin Kesef HaKiddushin L'Shein Pikadon. Obviously, he meant to give it to her as a Pikadon. He just knew that if he asked his sister, can you watch this for me? She's going to say, no, why should I watch it for you? So he gives it to her under the ruse of a Kiddushin, but he knows that it's not a Kiddushin. His intention is for a Pikadon. So Tosfos raises the question, why don't we assume the same thing over here? That why do you assume it's a Matana? Maybe it's a Pikadon. Maybe he just wants you to watch his money, and that's why he's giving it to you. So Tosfos suggests that you can't say he gave it L'Shem Pikadon, because he doesn't know that you're going to count the money, and that you're going to find that there's extra money in there right away. It could be that you'll spend half of it before you even count it, that you'll just make an assumption. Furthermore, Tosfos suggests that Mestama, since you didn't let him know that there's extra, you're not going to ask for it back. Meaning, if you want to ask for it back, you would make a point of saying, look, I'm giving you this money, so I have a plan on asking for it back. But if you didn't make any point about the fact that you were giving him extra, then you can't ask for it back. So then Mestama, it's a matana. So says the Gemara, the top line. What if it's a guy that you know doesn't give matanos? It's not his personality. He's not the kind of guy that just drops money and gives gifts to people. So then what do you assume if you find a few extra bills in there? What you have the right to assume is that maybe he stole the money from you once, you didn't realize it, and he's embarrassed to return it, to return the gzela explicitly, so he just stuck a few extra bills in there, and that's his way of returning it. Detanya, because the Bryce says, Agozlos Chavero Vivilo Bechashbon Yatza, that if someone steals money from you and he's just Mavlia Bechashbon, he just sticks the extra money in to another Cheshbon of when he's giving you something, Yotze, that works as a Hashavas Gezela, even though you don't have direct knowledge that he's being Mesh of the Gezela. L'chora, that's Tali in the Sugi at the very end of Baba Kama. The Gemara Baba Kama of Kuf Yud Ches has a Machlokas Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, if someone is Gonev Selam in a kiss, do you need the Das Bailim when you're Machsir? Do you need to let the person know you took money out of his wallet, you pickpocketed the guy? Do you need to let the person know when you return the money, or can you just stick it right back in the wallet that you found it? So the Gemara says, the Gemara raises that question of, wait a second, what about over here? That Gozel's Chaveru Hivliu B'cheshbon Yatza, that apparently you're not letting him know. So the Gemara explains, it must be that the Nigzal, you know that the Nigzal is going to count the money and he'll discover that there's extra over here. But if you don't know that he's gonna count the money, or he'll never know that you added extra, so then maybe in a chinami, it would not be a fulfillment of his hashava. Frek the Gemara, okay, so you found the extra bills in there, you can assume matana. If he's the kind of guy that never ever gives a matana, so assume that he stole from you once, and therefore he's just trying to return the money. Frek the Gemara, v'yinish tasi me'alma de'lo shakal v'tari ba'day, mai, what if it's a person you never had anything to do with? So he didn't steal from you, you never met this guy before in your life. So you know that he's not just returning something that he stole from you, this is your very first interaction with him. Then what you should assume is someone else must have stolen from you, was embarrassed to give you the money, went over to this guy with the money and said to him, you know, if you ever lend Reuven some money, just stick in these few extra dollars as a way of my returning the money that I stole. So even though the guy that's actually lending you the money is someone you've never met before, so nevertheless, you could still assume it's Hashavas HaGzela. A little bit strange though, the question of the Gemara. Well, what's the concern? Normally I'll assume that he stole from me and he's paying me back. But what if I never met him before? Well, most ganavim, when they steal from you, they go over and they introduce themselves first. Hi, I like to steal from people, and you may be my next victim. It's a very, very strange thing. Why would you assume that just because you've never had any dealings with him that you remember that he never stole from you? Most of the time, if he's going to steal from you, he'll do it in a way where you're not going to remember. That's the whole point. That's the way he's going to be successful in his career as a ganav. So the Kos Yeshua suggests, now certainly the concern is not that the guy, you know, put on a mask and, carried around a bag with dollar bill signs or whatever and went around stealing from people. The concern is that he did business with you and he cheated you in business. A more Hamish stealing. You know, he didn't, we're Jews. We're not going to steal. We're not going to be a ganav. We're going to skim a little off the top. So that's the concern. So if you never had any business dealings with him, so then he would never steal in such a way. So that's that's why we make the assumption that if you never had any business dealings with him, it can't be that he's just trying to be meshiv a gezela. Amrav Kana, v'yasivna b'shili pirkei d'rav. He says, I went in to sit in Rav's shir, and I was a little bit late, so I missed the whole beginning of the shir. V'sham d'kamer kari. So when I got there, I had no idea what he was talking about, but I heard him say, he kept on saying kari, he kept on referring to diluim, to gourds, to melons. I don't know why he was talking about that, so I had no idea. So I knew the shir had something to do with gourds. V'lo yadalamai ka'amar. But I had no idea what he was talking about. So basa d'kam Rav, after Rav finished the shir, amlu, my kari to come around. So I said to the other Talmidim, what was he talking about? What was he talking about? Gourds. What does that have to do with whatever we're learning? I'm released. They said, no, you missed the whole first part of the shir, so obviously you're not going to know what he was saying. This is what he was saying. Hayman diav zuzi leginoa. A guy gives money to a guy who runs a garden, who grows vegetables in his garden, a kari for gourds. The kaazli asara kari bnei zarta. And there's a certain price that you can get for 10 gourds that are a certain size, that are a half an amma long. And you can get them 10 gourds for a zuz, let's say. And he says, I'll give you a zuz for 10 gourds that are a full amma long, meaning I want a really good deal. Really, I should only get gourds that are a half amma long in this number for this price. But I plan on getting full amalong gourds for this price in this number, isnuhu shari. If he actually has those gourds, that's perfectly mutter. That means he's giving you a really good deal. And it's perfectly fine to give a really good deal. Does this count as Dafyama coincidence right after Cyber Monday? That's perfectly fine. You could have a sale. But less nuhu, if he doesn't have it, then usr. Then it's going to be usr because he's obviously giving you a better deal for prepayment. And that's time value of money that you're not allowed to do. So says Mar Pshita, isn't that obvious? That's exactly what the usr is. So no, I might have thought that right now the gourds are only half an amma long because they're still growing. So I might have thought that it's ki'ilu, he does have it already because it's just going to grow on its own. He doesn't even have to do anything. It's just going to happen on its own, that it's just going to continue. That it's just going to continue to grow. So kama shmulan. So that's why it has to tell me that even though it's going to grow on its own, it's not considered that he has it. Kimman, who is this assuming? Like ki haitana, like the following tana, detanya haholich lachlov asizav v'ligzos es rechelav v'lirdos es kavarto. A person is on his way to go milk his goats, to go shear his sheep, to go take honey from his honeycombs. Matzu chaveru va'armelo, and he runs into his friend and he says to him, mashi izay cholvos. I'm selling you whatever milk I get for my goats. Masher chayli gozos machulach. Whatever wool I get for my sheep, I'm selling to you. Masher kivarti roda machulach. Whatever product I get from my honeycombs, I'm selling to you. Mutter. That's perfectly mutter because whether it's going to be a lot or a little, meaning the reason he's giving him what might be a good price is because it also might be a very bad price. You have no idea how much he's getting. So there's a risk. So that's a perfectly normal investment where you can win, you can lose. That's not ribbis at all. Avalim amrlo mashiz achovos kach v'kach machulach. But if he guarantees him a certain amount of milk, and if the goats don't produce that that amount of milk today, well, I'll give you back the extra when they do produce that amount of milk. Meaning, next time I milk them, I'll also give you a little extra. Masher chelik gozos kach v'kach macherlach. Masher kivarti roda kach v'kach macherlach. That's usher, because you're giving him a good deal based on the fact that he's paying you before you actually have the product ready, before you actually milked the goats, before you actually shore the sheep. The avagav the melekaravu, even though it's going to grow on its own, meaning the wool just grows on the sheep, the goats just produce more milk, still we assume that it's not called that you have it right now. So kiven de lesnu bahi shaita usher, since you don't have it right now, that's going to be usher. So that's exactly what Rav was saying, right? Rav had said that if you don't have it right now, it's even though the gourds are going to grow and they're going to grow on their own, it's still going to be usher. So over here also, it's going to be usher. Now the kasha that the Balei HaTosos raised, Tosos over here in Dibur Maskel Ma raises the point that over here it sounds that you're allowed to sell for a cheap price milk that you're gonna milk in another day or two, because it could be that it's gonna be less milk than the guy expects, right? That if you didn't guarantee a certain amount, then it's going to be perfectly fine because he could win or he could lose. So that we said is perfectly fine. Yet Tosas points out the Gemara is going to say in on Davayin Gimel Amud Aleph that according to Rav, you're not allowed to sell peros of a pardes for a cheap price when the peros are still very small, even though it could be that the guy is going to lose out because the payrolls may get destroyed in some way or another. And he's mekabel the hefsid. He's mekabel the chance of losing out. Still, you're not allowed to do it because the fact that you're giving him a cheap price is a result of his prepaying it. So that's still going to be a problem. So Frektosos, isn't that directly against our sugya? Our sugya is as long as he's also taking risk. As long as, you know, if it doesn't turn out well and it's the less product than he would have thought he was getting for his money, he's going to then take a loss on it. So then it's perfectly fine. So Tosos suggests that over here he's only mocked him the money by a day or two. So it's not, the chances are it's not going to be much, he's not going to give him a much cheaper price. So it could be that he's not going to have the milk based on the amount of money that he gave him. So it's karav l'schar l'hefsid b'shavet. It's an equal chance of schar and hefsid. But by the pardes, where he's giving him way in advance, so then he's probably giving him a super cheap price. If he's giving him a super cheap price, it's really karav l'schar. Then probably he's getting he's making a good deal because he can afford to pay the money months in advance. If he's paying the money months in advance, he's probably getting a very, very cheap price. That's why it's going to be problematic over there. That's one suggestion Tosafot says. Another suggestion Tosafot says is that maybe by the case of the pardes, it's also only usher when you say that it's going to be X number of payrolls, and there's a tzad hefsid even when you say that it's going to be X number of payrolls, because it could be that the wine is going to spoil. But Rav holds that tzad hefsid is not matir unless there's no psika of kach v'kach of X amount. So in our sugya where there's a where we're not talking about where there's a psika of kach v'kach, the tzad hefsid is going to be matir since you didn't make a set amount that you have to deliver. By the pardes where there is a psika that it's supposed to be this amount, the tzad hefsid is not going to be enough to be matir. Meaning you're fundamentally dealing with a worst case when you have set an amount and it's just the only tzad hefsid is that it might spoil. It's not that it's going to be less because you have guaranteed a certain number. In our sugya, you haven't guaranteed any number, so the tzad hefsid is a much stronger tzad hefsid, and therefore it's just considered a regular investment. So that was all one approach. Ika da amri, amar Rava, an ika da amri that Rava says, kiven de memele karabu shapir dami. That no, just the opposite, that when you're selling the gourds, even though right now they're only half an amma big, and you're selling them for a cheap price, and you're guaranteeing him amma long gourds, but since they're naturally going to grow to the point of one amma long, it's as if you're selling him something that you already have, and therefore it's not a ribbis problem. It's just stam a sale. You're just giving him a good deal. Va'tanya kach v'kach aser. So, but didn't we say that if you guarantee him a certain amount, that's going to be aser? Hasam, I mean by the goats and by the milk, by the wool. So hasam lav minei karabu deshakle. There's a big difference between milk from goats and sheep, wool from sheep, versus a gourd that's growing. from when the gourd grows, the current gourd that you have is going to expand to become greater. When it comes to guaranteeing a certain amount of milk, it's not like the milk that you're able to milk right now is going to expand and become greater. That's new milk that you don't yet have that you're promising him for the future. Hasam lav minei karabu. It's not coming minei ube. It's not growing from what's there. The shakleilai vasiachrini. What happens is you shear the sheep and then more grows, but it's not growing from the wool that's there. But over here, from the gourd itself, it's growing. If you were to take this gourd out of the ground when it's only half an arm long, nothing else is growing in its place. It's not that it's like a constant growth. So it's considered that you have it over here because you do have the item that ultimately is going to grow to one amma big. Now it is a little bit interesting that the Gemara used the expression ika da amri. The first version that said that it's not considered that you have the product when you only have the half amma gourds was Rav. And now we're saying that Ika da Amri, so you expect if it's Ika da Amri, it's another version of Rav. But no, it's Ika da Amri Amar Rava. But Rava never said anything. Why is it an Ika da Amri Amar Rava? It's just Rava disagreeing with Rav, that Rav said it's Asur and Rava holds that it's Mutter. So it should have just said Amar Rava. And also, most of the poskim paskin like Rava, which is a little bit strange. If Rava's only in Ika da Amri, that some say Rava held this way. Everyone says Rav held what he held, but some say that Rava held the Laheter. So then why would we paskin Laheter? Meaning it's one thing to say Hilchot Kebasra, but we're not even sure that Rava really said it. So the Kosh Shua says now it has to be that when the Gemara says Ika da Amri Amar Rava, is that when we reported Rav, it was what Rava reported in the name of Rav. And now we're saying, Ikadamri Amar Rava, that some say that no, what Rava really said in the name of Rav is the following. But it has to be that it's the same Amorayim that we're dealing with, otherwise it wouldn't be an Ikadamri. Amar Avaye. Avaye suggests the following halacha. Sharile linish lememer lechavrei. A person is allowed to say to his friend, Helech arba zuzia chavisa de chamra. Here's 4 zuz for a barrel of wine that I intend to buy from you, but here's the deal. I don't want to take any risk on it. Itakva birshuseich. If it spoils, then the wine is yours. I want my money back. But regardless, if it doesn't spoil, whether it's actually worth the amount of money that I'm giving you or not, whether it's worth more or less than the amount of money that I'm giving you, meaning whether it's a good investment or a bad investment on my part, then it's mine. Then it's my investment. Isn't that a violation of ribis? Because it's karv l'schav rachuk l'hafsid. He's protecting himself against any sort of potential loss by saying that if it spoils, that it's not going to be mine. Meaning if you're really buying it, then if it spoils, it's yours also. So it must be that he's not really buying it. He's giving him money, and he's lending him money on the condition that the guy's going to give him something that's valuable, and he's not taking the risk of any loss, and therefore that would be very similar to ribis. No, he is taking some risk. He may not be taking enormous risk. He's saying if it totally spoils, then I'm not interested. But he is saying that even if it's not worth the money that I'm giving you, that's still mine. That's still my problem if it's not worth the money that I'm giving you. So that's not called karov l'schar v'rochok l'hefsid. That's considered equally karov for both schar and hefsid. Good, new mission now. Now the mission is going to talk about once you already loan somebody money, you have to be very careful about taking favors from a person that you lent money to. So says the Mishnah, Malves Chavero, someone lent somebody money. Lo yadur b'chatzero chinam. Don't live in his chatzer for free. You can't go live rent free in his property if he owes you money. Because that's going to be ribis. V'lo yiskam menum pachs mneshu ribis. You also can't get a good deal on rent. All of a sudden, these houses go for rentals of $3,000 a month, and you're getting it for $1,500 a month. Ah, I got a good deal. No, you didn't get a good deal. You lent the money and he's trying to give you ribbis. So that's a problem of ribbis. The Rishonim struggle with you have to cut off all ties with the person. He might do you a favor. You know, there's a tissue over there, and you say, please pass me a tissue. Oh no, he did me a favor, and I have to worry that that's a violation of ribbis. How exactly? How we magdir what you are and are not allowed to? What kinds of common courtesies you're allowed to take from him? What's considered ribbis? What's not? So the Rimigash suggests that we see from here that any toelas vahana'a that comes from the lova is a problem, even if derech ha'olam limchal, even if it's the kind of thing that people are normally mochal, people normally don't care about. Because we're talking about you're living in a chatzer that the guy wasn't going to rent out anyway, it had no value to him, still we see that it's aser. Tosos in Dibra Maskel Aval suggests that in the first teretz, at least of Tosos, that the whole din that we say over here that it's aser is only by things that are public, that have a kol. Everyone's going to see you're living in this guy's chatzer, meaning it's a place where you live, or you're using his eved to work for you, as the Gemara will soon discuss. But if his stam is going to lend you a kli or something like that, and it's the kind of thing that people don't think twice about, you don't have to worry about those kinds of favors. It's very public favors that you really have to worry about. That's Tosos in his first teretz. So Tosos gives another teretz that it's lav dafka to live in his chatzar. Anything that you do shalomi das habaylim is going to be aser. Meaning anytime you take the liberty of saying, he won't mind, because why won't he mind? We have a good relationship. Well, why do you have a good relationship? Because you lent him money. That's where it's going to be a problem. But if you actually ask in advance, then it's not going to be a problem. The whole point is you're just being dar b'chatzero without asking him whether you can be dar b'chatzero. That's Tosos' second approach. So first approach, Tosos, is only about very public things. Second approach, Tosos, even if it's not about the public things, it's about the assumed relationship that everything is haimish and that you can just, you know, take advantage. That's the problem. That's the problem over here. But as long as you get permission, otherwise it would be okay. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yosef Bar Yumi, Amar Rav Nachman, Af Mishamar Adaber Chatz Chaver Shlomi Daito, Ein Tzorach Lalos Loschar. Even though we say that if you live in someone else's chatzer without his permission, you don't have to pay for it, so long as it's a case of Zelo Chaser, that he didn't lose out, it wasn't a chatzer that he was going to otherwise rent out, Hilvahu V'dor B'chatzero. But if you lent him money and now you go live in his chatzer, Tzorach Lalos Loschar, then you do have to pay. So frankly, Mar Mai Kamashmulan, what's the chiddush of that statement? Tanina, that's our Mishnah. Hamal v'schaveru lo yadur b'chatzer chinam lo yiskor men pachos mipnei shehu ribis. It's exactly what our Mishnah said. So what are we adding to our Mishnah? So it says Mar imi masnisin hava mina hanimil b'chatzer dekayim ala agra v'gavr da'av l'megar. If all we had was our Mishnah, I would have thought that we're talking about a chatzer that the guy could have rented out, and the guy who's living there, the malve, was in the market to rent out a property. But if it's a chatzah that the guy anyway wasn't going to rent, the gavra de lava the megar, and the tenant, the malva, was anyway not going to pay anybody any money to rent a property from them, Amalo, I might think it's no big deal if he goes and he lives in that chatzah because there's no monetary value to it. Kamash Malan, that's why he comes to tell us it's still problematic, that in this relationship wouldn't cost anything normally. Here it does, it's going to be a problem. Ikada Amri, another version is that Amr Avyos Barman Yumi Amr of Nachman, Afal Pisha Amr Adabra Chatzchavir Shlomi Daito, Enitzar Chalos Oschar, even though normally you don't have to pay if you just squat in someone's property that's not for rent anyway. But halveini vidar b'chatzeri. But if you say explicitly, lend me money and then you can live in my chatzer, so tzarech la'alos l'schar, then you're going to have to pay rent for that. So madyam ralveu kolshken halveini. If you say that you're going to have to pay even when you just happen to live there after the loan, so certainly if that was part of the deal, then you're going to have to pay. Madyam ralveini, but if you say that it was part of the deal, aval alveihu, but if you did, you just happened to lend him money and now you're just going to live there, lo, then it's not going to be a problem. You're not going to have to pay for it. My time, why not? Why won't you have to pay for it? Kivin de Meikar, Lavadai to Dach Yusve, Leslanba. Since it wasn't part of the original deal of the loan, it's not going to be a problem. Rav Yosef Barchama, Tokif Avdi de Inchi, de Masbu Zuzi, Vavadu Avidta. Rav Yosef Barchama would take the Avadim of people who owed him money and he would make them work for him. These Avadim would work for him, in addition to getting paid back the money. So Amrle Rava Berei, so Rava said to him, My time, Avin Marachi, how can you do this? So the Achron Berei jump up and down. Keep it aveim. That's not the way you're supposed to ask your father. Okay, he asked in a respectful way. Amalei anok Rav Nachman Sfirli. He says, I hold like Rav Nachman. Damar Rav Nachman, because Rav Nachman says, Avdo nohum kresei lo shavi, that an eved isn't even worth the bread you give him. So when I took the guy's guy's Eved, I was doing him a favor because I fed the Eved for that day. Whatever work I got from him isn't even worth the amount of money that I fed him. Amalei, well, he says, wait a second. Amar Damar Rav Nachman Gondari Avde, Damaraka Bekuvde, Avde Achrini Miyamar. Rav Nachman said that about his own Eved, who wasn't a very particularly good worker. But most Avadim are worth the bread they eat. Otherwise, no one would ever buy Avadim if there's no benefit to it. Amalei, Anaki Yad Rav Daniel Barav Katina, Amarav Svirli. No, what I meant is I hold like Rav Daniel Barav Katina, Amarav. Why? What did he say? The Amar Hatokev Avdo Shel Chavero Va'asabo Melacha Pater, because he says that if you take someone else's Eved and you make the Eved do work for you, Pater, you don't have to pay for it. Meaning this is something that has no monetary value. The Eved was anyway not going to be working. And the guy will be happy that the Eved is not sitting there Yoshev Batel and learning how to become a Batlan. He wants the Eved to develop a work ethic. That's a great excuse if you didn't just lend him money. But if you lend him money, so then it's going to be ribis. Isn't that the point of what we just learned? Normally, when you squat, you don't have to pay for the property. But if you lend him money, then you do have to pay for it. That creates a relationship where you have to pay for it. Amalei Hadribi says, you're right, I changed my mind. That was a mistake. I shouldn't have done it. I should not have taken the Avid. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up with Amar Abaye tomorrow.